You've probably heard it said that anything worth doing is worth doing well. I'm Rob West. Today we'll find out why working hard at something can pay big dividends, spiritually and financially. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. What does it take to succeed? Talk to any successful person and they'll probably tell you that it takes work. Former U.S. Secretary of State General Colin Powell said, "There is no secret to success. It's the result of preparation, hard work, and learning from failure." In other words, when you want to succeed in your finances, at your job, at school, or in relationships, you can't just sit around thinking about it. You have to take action. Success in any area requires discipline. Athletes know this. The more reps you put in at the gym or the more miles you put in, the better you can do on competition day. No pain, no gain, right? In the area of education, a good student understands discipline. Study a little bit each day, take good notes, do your homework, and you're in a better position to ace that test. It's the same with your finances. Practice discipline with your saving, spending, and giving, and you're more likely to reach your financial goals. Unfortunately, if athletes or students or you and I fail to practice discipline, the results won't be as positive. Because without the pain of discipline now, we're likely to face the pain of regret later on. Here's what Hebrews 12:11 says about discipline. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So the Bible confirms that discipline is an important part of a Christian's life, for spiritual as well as practical reasons. We can't grow as disciples of Christ if we're sitting around like sanctified couch potatoes. And while discipline is hard, it can be a source of joy. Let's look at a few examples of financial disciplines and the benefits of staying the course. Maybe you're working hard at one or more of these. Perhaps you're determined to save a little money from your paycheck every week. That certainly requires discipline, but the benefit of consistent saving is that you feel a lot less stressed about future financial needs. Another example of a financial discipline is giving faithfully to the Lord. When you do, you have the satisfaction of participating in His kingdom work and the joy of helping others. Or how about this one? It takes discipline to pay down your debts, but the benefit is you're making progress towards financial freedom. Think of the joy you'll experience when you're finally debt-free. Finally, it takes discipline to stick to a financial plan, but when you do, you'll reap the rewards of financial peace and confidence. Knowing where each dollar is coming from and where it's going is a key to financial stability and success. By the way, if you're not exercising the discipline of a spending plan, we can help with that. Download the FaithFi app or visit us online at faithfi.com, and we'll show you how to start your own personalized spending plan. The point is that it takes discipline to be a good manager of the resources God's given you. It might be painful to endure the disciplines of saving, giving, paying off debt, and sticking to a plan, but the pain has a higher purpose. The verse from Hebrews that we quoted earlier tells us something we already know. Discipline hurts, but discipline can also be a source of joy. Here's why. First, the results of discipline are positive. In the realm of finances, we can rejoice when our nest egg grows, when we see progress in paying off our loans, and when we see the fruits of our planning and generosity. These happy outcomes make the hard work of saving, paying down debt, planning, and giving worthwhile. Also, when we follow God's blueprint for stewardship and integrity in money matters, we experience peace in our financial life. And finally, when you compare the lack of financial discipline to the discipline of careful stewardship, it's easy to see which one is more joyful. It's much better to have all your ducks in a row than to be constantly chasing them around the pond. One more thought about financial discipline. As hard as we try, none of us will make the right financial choices every time. So whether you blew your budget or missed a loan payment, it's not the end of the world. Acknowledge your mistakes, get help if you need it, submit your plans to the Lord, and get back on track. God has set before you certain resources to manage, and when you exercise discipline with your money and your spiritual life, you'll experience a harvest of righteousness and peace, which is success in anyone's book. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's interesting how important things in the Bible tend to happen on mountains. Like on Mount Sinai, when the mountain was trembling, fire consumed its peak, all of Israel was afraid. Years later, reflecting back on that day in the time of Moses, King David asked in Psalm 24, "Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord?" Well, verse 4 of that psalm answers the question. It's the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Trouble is, that doesn't describe any of us, does it? Our hands are stained with sin. But it does describe Jesus. He's the one with clean hands and a pure heart, and he's the one who brings us to God's holy mountain. And you'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and he doesn't want his people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know him.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible through cover to cover? Well, if you haven't done it, I recommend it. When you look at the scope of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see a lot of recurring themes. One of those is the concept of abundance. Now, the dictionary defines abundance as the condition of being in rich supply. Who wouldn't want to be in God's rich supply? Unfortunately, time after time in Scripture, we read of God's people rejecting his abundance and running after worldly pleasures or selfish desires instead. From the beginning, God's plan was for his creation to experience abundance. God created an Eden to be a place of abundance. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Unfortunately, they rejected abundance by disobeying God. Well, later, God rescued Israel
Israel from slavery in Egypt and led them to a new place of abundance, a land filled with milk and honey. Over time, God's people got complacent and rebellious. We read this, you know, over and over in the Old Testament. They were worshiping pagan gods, and worse, they lost their abundance again and ended up in exile. You see, this cycle happens over and over, and as people traded God's blessings for their own convenience, greed, and sin, that seems to be the story of our time as well, doesn't it? Finally, God's promises of abundance reach their fulfillment in Christ, who says that in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus sealed that promise by dying on the cross, taking our sin, disobedience, and shame on himself. His resurrection broke the power of death once and for all. Now you and I can live abundantly without fear. Now, of course, the story of God's abundance doesn't end with our redemption. Jesus promised his followers that he would return in glory. In John 14:3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So Christians look forward to Jesus' return and ultimately to eternal blessings in heaven. Now, in Psalm 66:12, it says, "We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." The psalmist was referring to God leading Israel into the promised land, but the same goes for God's people today. Heaven is our promised land, and we look forward to enjoying God's abundance there. Now, that's the good news. You see, whether or not you've read through the whole Bible, you can still experience God's abundance today, and it really has nothing to do with how much money you have. In Christ, we can all experience God's love, his amazing grace, his complete peace, and the hope of heaven. Our gratitude for these blessings should stimulate our praise and our desire to serve and help others too. So I hope maybe today you reflect just a bit on God's gift of abundance as you think about it, search the scriptures, and live in the reality of it. Let's go to Glenview, Illinois. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm hoping this is a question you can help me with. At 55, I had to leave the job market and go on disability because of a medical crisis, and it's a permanent medical issue. So since 55 to 65, I was on disability and getting my health insurance through that channel. But at 65, I was automatically switched to Social Security. And I'm wondering if there's a way I can turn off the Social Security. I had initially intended to work until I was 72, which would be my normal period that I'd do it. But I don't know if because I turned on, Social Security has been turned on, that I can't turn it off anymore. I'm just have to live with that amount. I received the lowest amount because I had to leave the job market so early. And I'm trying to figure out a way I can recoup it.
Yeah. You can suspend your Social Security benefits to earn delayed retirement credits if you've reached full retirement age. So they can be suspended for any length of time after you reach your full retirement age, which you're there. You can only suspend your benefits until you reach age 70. After 70, you would have to start receiving your benefits again if you haven't already. But once you reach full retirement age, you can suspend those benefits and get delayed retirement credits.
Okay, and would you know, so I was born in 57, so I'm not sure what the tax laws are, but I'm pretty sure that I do know because I received a letter from Social Security that now I'm on Social Security. So if I contact them and say I'm going to suspend Social Security, do I also lose my health insurance and then I have to find a private health insurance?
No. You would still be able to have Medicare even though you suspended your retirement benefits.
Okay. So how would I go about this? Would I contact the Social Security Department?
Yes. You would want to go to the website ssa.gov
and perhaps schedule an appointment to go down and see them. You could try to catch them, you know, on the phone. But the bottom line there to that separate, that second question is, Medicare is a separate program from Social Security. So suspending voluntarily your Social Security retirement benefits does not apply to Medicare. So yeah, you're going to want to reach out to them, ssa.gov, and either schedule a meeting or, you know, get through over the phone, which you need to be patient. It's not always easy to do, but you'll definitely be able to make contact with someone.
Disability. I was grateful for it at the time that I needed it, but being that I'm single and have no other income, spouse income, I'm trying to find a way I can recoup lost earnings. If I suspend Social Security, I can get a higher amount.
Yeah, and that would be important for you to talk to, because they can pull up your actual record and tell you exactly where you stand today and what's possible if you voluntarily suspend moving forward. So I'd encourage you to reach out to them. Karen, thank you for your call today. Absolutely. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Chattanooga. Hi, Christy. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. I hope you can clarify something for me. Someone told me that I can collect on my husband's Social Security. I am 68. He's 61 working. And my benefits are really low. I was a stay-at-home mom, didn't have a lot of work experience out of the home. So is that true?
Well, you can get up to 50% of your husband's benefit by claiming spousal benefits, but he must already be taking benefits for you to be eligible. So if you think about this in terms of, you know, one of our go-to guys on this explains it like he's got to walk through the door before you can. And so you're not eligible until he begins taking benefits.
So we both make sense? Would be getting benefits at the same time?
Yes. Uh-huh. So he starts taking benefits on his record. And then once he does, that makes you eligible for benefits as a spouse. But the benefits, the max you can get is 50% of his. And that's only if you're full retirement age. If you're under that, then you're going to be reduced below 50%. But yes, you would be collecting your spousal benefit. He would be collecting his full retirement benefit, and you would get both of them. And the amount depends on your age at which you begin taking it. I hope that helps. Thanks, Christy. Now, just a quick reminder as we head into this next break, don't call in. Our team is not here today, but we have some great questions we've lined up in advance. Those will be coming just on the other side of this break. A quick reminder, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. Let's head back to the phones to Plainfield, Illinois. Hi, Marie. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is this. Okay, so my husband's company is offering early retirement, and previously he's turned it down, but now he's really considering it, and he's 62 years old. And what our concerns are is if he take the lump sum payout, which would be like over $900,000, and or take, I think he said he might get $72,000 a year for the rest of his life. And we're considering taking the pay, you know, the he's considering taking the early retirement, but with wondering how would that affect us in taxes? Would he get taxed if he take the lump sum? And the implications if he take it monthly over time and once he decide to take Social Security. But at this point, he's not looking at taking Social Security anytime soon because he'd get another job if he decide to take this retirement from the company.
Okay. Yeah, and so how much are they offering him in terms of the lump sum amount?
Over $900,000. And it previously was higher than that, but I think because of the markets, it's gone down.
Okay, very good. And then what was the monthly amount if you were to take that option?
I think he said 6,700, but okay. I think it equaled out to around 72 a year.
Okay, all right, I'm not positive.
Yeah.
Sure. And was that for your life or for his life plus yours or just for his only?
It was for his life, but it would only go to me if something happens to him. But if something happens to both of us, then our children would not get anything.
Yeah. Okay. But you would continue to earn it if he were to pass away.
That's what he says. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, you know, I think this is something certainly to look at. I mean, if he takes the lump sum, you should be able to roll it over. And so it wouldn't be a taxable event until you pulled it out. You know, if you take just the monthly income stream, that is going to be taxable. So they'll both be taxable when you receive them, but you won't be penalized by taking the lump sum if you roll it over to an IRA. So you keep it in a tax-deferred environment. The question is, would you rather have the income, the guaranteed income stream for life, or would you rather have, you know, access to the money that you could tap into more of it if you needed it, and or if you have something left over, you could leave it as an inheritance or give away. And that's why I think for a lot of folks, you know, they like the lump sum option, but you need to look at it in light of your overall financial plan. So is this going to be your primary income source alongside Social Security?
out of that fund, but it will once we stop fully working.
Okay. Yeah, so when is he planning on separating from employment?
They will actually tell you because they're letting, you know, it will be within the year.
Okay, yeah.
Like a full year time frame.
Okay, yeah, very good. What I would recommend, Marie, just because there's so many moving parts on this and it's far more complex than we'd have time to address here together on the air, I'd recommend you get with an advisor from a planning standpoint, not necessarily investment management, although if you take the lump sum, you are going to need somebody to manage the money. But I think the first exercise is really around comprehensive financial planning, where you would look at what are your expenses going to be in retirement? What income sources will you have? What the right time to take Social Security is? And then look at the lump sum versus the monthly income stream. And there's a way to calculate, you know, which is better in your situation, just based on the present value of that future income stream versus getting the lump sum and being able to take that and have more access to it. And to your point earlier about having something left over potentially, if you can just live off the income that you could pass on, as opposed to giving that up, because you know with the payout it goes away after you both pass away. So, you know, I think working through all of that and having a plan where you can see the numbers, you can bring your income and expenses into it, you can talk about your values and where the Lord is leading you in this next season of life, talk about long-term care and what that might look like if one or both of you needed long-term care, whether that was in-home care or full nursing care. You know, there's just a host of issues that need to come in here. And I think as a part of that planning process, it will become clear which is the better option. Do you all have an advisor that you've worked with in the past?
No.
All right. Here's what I would recommend. I would recommend you go to our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And right there at the top of the page, it'll say find a professional. And what you're going to want to do is search for a certified Kingdom advisor in your area. Now, CKA is the designation that we recommend. This is 1,500 financial advisors across the country that have met high standards in character and competence. They've met experience requirements. They've had a pastor reference and a client reference and a regulatory review. Plus, they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision making. It's the only financial services industry designation, Marie, for biblically wise financial advice. And what I would do is find two or three near you there in Illinois, interview them, find the one that's the best fit. And again, what you're looking for initially is somebody that can just do the planning for you. And you're just going to pay them for their time. And then based on what you all decide, then you may need investment management down the road. And I think that's going to be give you a more definitive answer than I'd be able to give you here today, just because of the complexity of this decision. Again, that website, faithfi.com. Click find a professional. God bless you, Marie. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
We need to just say, Lord, I don't understand why these dark lines have come into my life, but I trust you because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are good. See, I can come to a God like that, who loves me, who's gentle, who's humble in heart.
Learn the depth of God's goodness. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central. Here on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All our lines are full, so let's head right back to the phones to Round Lake Heights, Illinois. Hi, Moses. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, and I've been listening to your ministry for over 5 years.
Great.
I'm so grateful for your ministry. It is a huge blessing, and I pray that God continues to bless you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I have a testimony, a confession, and a question.
Okay, I'm ready. In that order, I guess?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
My testimony is that when I first started listening to your program, I heard about Christian credit counseling. Mm. My wife and I were desperately in need of credit card relief. I wanted to file for bankruptcy, but I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit and listening to your words that I needed to pay this off. In less than 5 years, we paid $36,000 worth of credit card debt.
Wow.
That's my testimony.
Incredible.
My confession is, believe it or not, we were never able to manage to put a budget together. Huh. It's something that gives me anxiety. I kind of freak out about it. We tried to do it before. I even try to go and do the app that you suggest. And when I try to link it to my bank account, it did not allow me. I ended up having to reset my bank password. So my question is, how do I make a budget and how do I keep it? I'm like totally scared to do it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And first of all, let me celebrate the testimony that you shared there, Moses. That's incredible. $36,000 in 5 years using our friends at Christian Credit Counselors. I can't wait to tell the team there. They will be so excited. And they, of course, already know, but just the fact that you called in and shared that, what an encouragement. Second, I appreciate your transparency on your confession and just the idea that you've never been able to put a budget together. And in your words, you're scared to do so. What do you think it is, Moses? What is it that's tripping you up? Where is that anxiety coming from related to a spending plan?
When I try to put the budget together and I start seeing everything that needs to get paid, I'm afraid. It scares me. I get worried. Yeah. I got 3 kids, the food budget, this happens, that happens.
Yeah, yeah. I can certainly understand that. How are you doing on a monthly basis? I mean, you obviously were able to stay laser focused on getting out of debt. What a blessing that is. You now have recouped that amount that you were sending to pay off all that credit card debt back in your budget. Are you seeing any kind of surplus each month?
We were, to be honest with you, pretty much living paycheck to paycheck. I was expecting to have a surplus after this. And then, unfortunately, Illinois raised my taxes on my home. So that surplus just got cut in half. But we're probably just going to have, like, a surplus of $400, yeah, give or take.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, as you think about your role as a steward and as I think about my role, it's a pretty high calling that the Lord has given us. It all belongs to Him. And so you and I are money managers for the King of Kings. And that's a privilege. It shouldn't be something that we should be scared of, because the Lord has said He'll never leave us or forsake us. He is our provider. Moses, everything you have belongs to Him. And we have the privilege, after we surrender our lives to Jesus and place our trust in Him, of being stewards. Stewards of our time and our relationships. You're stewards of those precious children the Lord has entrusted to you. You're also stewards of God's, you're a steward of God's resources. And so I think, you know, really seeing every spending decision ultimately as a spiritual decision, I think perhaps seeing that budget not as an obligation, but perhaps as a way to celebrate the God's provision in your life, the fact that you are able to cover those bills and put food on the table to care for those children and, you know, put clothes on their back. And I mean, you know, as you look at that budget, I think there's an opportunity to perhaps change and shift your mindset around, wow, look at all these things I have to do. Instead, look at all the things I get to do. Look at, because of God's provision, I'm able to write this check and cover this bill and keep the lights on and keep gas in the car. And, you know, every now and then maybe do something fun with the kids and go out and celebrate and get some pizza, or, you know, take in a baseball game or go on a vacation. And, you know, I realize it's challenging, and it's more challenging now than ever. And by God's grace, because of your diligence, you were able to absorb those increases in property taxes that might otherwise have thrown your budget into a tailspin. And that's a direct result of, first, God's provision in your life, but second, your diligence to focus on getting that debt paid off. I mean, that's remarkable that you paid off $36,000 in credit card debt in 5 years. It's something to celebrate. And I think, you know, hopefully as you begin to look differently at your budget, not as what I have to do, but what I get to do, you know, perhaps that subtle shift will allow you to begin to see differently the opportunity to be faithful in managing God's money. And you really can't do it effectively, not nearly as effectively, without a plan. Because until we know where we're going and chart a course to get there, we're pretty much going to miss it every time. Here's what I would love to do for you. If you'd be willing to do it, I'd be happy to connect one of our Christian financial counselors to you at no cost. We'll cover the cost for that person to help you set up that budget, pray with you, encourage you, talk to you about how mechanically you should operate the budget on a monthly basis, and perhaps give you some, you know, some tools and some thoughts on, you know, what it looks like to get it in place. And then, you know, perhaps once it's there, you know, you would then be better positioned to carry it out on a monthly basis. Now, if you're not going to follow through, just tell me that, and we won't take the time. But if you will, I'd be happy to get somebody connected to you that can journey alongside you as you do this. Give me your thoughts.
I absolutely would follow through. Just speaking with you and hearing your wisdom, and this is not something that's to be forced on. It's a privilege. It's an honor to manage God's money. Like, that's so encouraging, yeah, for me to change my perspective and look at things that way. Yeah. I think sometimes we get caught up so much on what I have to do in regards, yeah, instead of what I need, what I am privileged to do.
Yes.
So absolutely, I'm glad I called, and thank you so much. You're such a blessing.
Thank you, Moses. I'd be delighted to do it. So here's what we're going to do. You stay on the line. We're going to get your information. We'll get one of our certified Christian financial counselors in touch with you. They'll encourage you. They can sit down with you and your wife, you know, over the phone or a virtual call, and have an opportunity just to talk through your income and expenses, put a plan in place, get that budget finally in place, but also help you think through the best way to manage that, whether that's the FaithFi app or something else. And I'm confident that'll be a blessing to you. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray that you would just open Moses' eyes to just how much you love him and his kids and his wife, and how you're there for him, Lord, that we can count on you as our provider, that you will never leave us or forsake us, and your promises are true and you're trustworthy, Lord. And just give him a sense of enjoyment and delight in the opportunity he has to manage the resources you have entrusted to him and the provision that you've brought so faithfully. Thank you for the incredible work he's been able to do to eradicate that credit card debt. And I just pray that you'd journey alongside him as he is a father and a husband and a money manager. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be right back.
When life gets busy, there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for thankfulness or kindness or mercy. Coming up next time on Focus on the Family, Kay Wima invites you to try the Peace Project, a 30-day experiment to bring godly virtues into your life instead of anger, fear, and entitlement. Learn more about the Peace Project next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Oh, I know. Christianity's for Sunday. What you do Monday through Friday, no, it's not that way at all. The Holy Spirit doesn't take Monday through Friday off. He's with you every day. He goes with you in every situation.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series in Ephesians, Belief That Behaves, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones. Marie, thank you for your patience there in Birmingham. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking my call. So both my husband and I are in ministry. My husband's a youth pastor, and I actually work at a seminary. And so we were just wondering some best plans going forward in paying off some student loan debt. We both have together amongst us 6 degrees of higher ed, but we actually only had to pay for one of those degrees because our denominations gracefully pay for most of our education.
Yeah.
But his undergrad degree has about $70,000 in like student loan debt that we accrued. And so we're just finding it a little difficult between either like grad student payments and like also just youth pastor budget. We're finding it difficult to really start on those loans. So I really wanted to ask you two questions about loan payment options. First, your advice on refinancing student loans. Like, when is that a good time to maybe look into that, especially now with the market just kind of being all over the place? And then like which banks that you recommend for student loan refinancing? And then my second question is lump sum payments, because I've heard really the only way to pay off student debt is like lump sums every once in a while and then really tackling that minimum payment and almost paying more than the minimum payment each month. But yeah, I really just wanted to hear your thoughts on lump sums and then refinancing.
Yeah, very good. Let me ask you, you know, under the regulations that went into effect in 2021, work at most churches and other religious organizations qualifies in many cases for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Have you looked into that to see if you possibly qualify?
Yes. So unfortunately, because we're both still on the ordination track for our denominations, I think it's only for ordained clergy.
Okay.
And then also, I think it's only for federal loans, and the $70,000 is in private loans.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, it is. So you said a good portion of this is private loans currently, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, very good. You know, in terms of how to think about this, I mean, you know, typically with refinancing, I mean, the first thing is with those federal loans, you're not going to want to refinance those because you're going to lose the federal protections. So when you go from federal to private, you're going to lose access to the income-driven repayment plans, the forgiveness programs. Even you've said it, you don't qualify, so that is not as attractive. But the deferment and forbearance options. So if you ever got into a real financial hardship, the federal loans are going to give you a lot more flexibility than the private loans. And so I always encourage folks not to to lose that. Now, with the private loans, then it doesn't matter. There is the risk of higher costs over time, though, if you refinance. And the reason is often folks will do that to try to get the payments down. And in doing so, they end up with a longer repayment term, where even if the interest is lower, you know, you're going to pay more over time through a longer repayment period. And with the variable rates, you know, if you refinance to a variable rate, it could end up leading to higher costs as well. The other challenge is, you know, typically you'd only want to do that if you can if you could secure a lower interest rate, you know, of at least 2 points, and, you know, 1.5 to 2. But in this environment, you know, I suspect there's just no way you're going to be able to do that. So it really just kind of takes that option off the table, which just means that at that point, you know, how do you focus on getting these paid off? Well, you know, I mean, you just need to, it comes down to keeping your lifestyle lean, trying to free up as much as you can, and the goal being to send as much to principal reduction over that monthly payment as possible. But you have to, you know, balance that, of course, with making sure you've got an emergency fund and making sure you're doing other things alongside it, like, you know, the giving that the Lord has called you to do and saving for the long term. And so I think you just have to be realistic about the time frame of how quickly you're going to be able to pay it back, just given, you know, what income you have available and your competing priorities that all align with your values, you know, saving for the future, giving generously, and reducing debt. Those are all great things, and there's limited resources, so we just have to put a plan together that reflects all of them. And obviously at the core of that is keeping your lifestyle at a minimum so you've got surplus to do those things to the best of your ability. I wish there was kind of a silver bullet. There is not. And if you don't qualify for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness or any other kind of forgiveness program, I think the key for you right now is just to prioritize your surplus against your goals that align with your values. And certainly one of those should be, you know, paying more than your minimum payment to the ability you can, so that we can get that principal coming down as quickly as we can. And you may want to think about it in terms of a payback period. So what would it look like for you all to get this paid back in 10 years? And just kind of run some scenarios out to see how much extra you'd need to be able to send every month in order to do that. And then obviously, if at some point down the road rates make sense for you to do a refi, you could, but that's probably not right now. Does that all make sense, though?
It does. I do have a question about paying in lump sums as well. So beyond kind of like moving around our budget a little bit to up the minimum payment on our end to a couple $100 more than what the bank is asking for each month, I'm wondering what your opinion is on like when to do lump sum payments. Like, should we start off by starting like with a couple of grand to pay off some of the loans? I mean, this would be dipping into our emergency fund to do that. And I'm just wondering, because with how high the interest rates are right now with student debt, it feels like you just almost can never get rid of it because you know, you're just almost paying off principal all the time. So I just wanted your opinion on that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I can certainly appreciate that. I think the question would just be how much of that emergency fund would you deplete? Because although I love paying a lump sum toward, you know, getting these paid off quicker, because that's going to be a reduction in the total interest paid because it directly reduces the principal balance. And since interest is typically calculated based on the principal, reducing it early is going to significantly decrease the total interest you pay over the life of the loan. And the quicker you can get that paid off, you know, the more disposable income you'll have for other priorities. But I don't want you to do it and, you know, deplete necessary reserves. So how many months' expenses do you have today, and how much would you have after whatever amount you're thinking about using for a lump sum?
Yeah, so I think we have about 4 months saved up, which we really wanted to build that up a little bit more, but he actually just moved to a different church, which is why we're able to finally have these financial decisions, because they're paying a little bit more. But we have about 4 months in our emergency fund. And with the idea that I have, we would probably only have a month or two at best, which is not at all preferable, but it's just where we're finding ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And would you be able to pay off completely any of the loans to free up that monthly payment, or would you just be doing a partial reduction of the balance?
It would probably just be a partial reduction of the balance. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'd be hesitant to do that. I mean, I certainly wouldn't go below 3 months' expenses. And even though you are going to save interest in the long run, it's not really going to help your cash flow at all. And so if there's any question on whether or not you've got any surplus left, I probably wouldn't do it. Like if you all are spending right up to the edge every month, I'd probably pass on it. If you wanted to, you know, you've demonstrated with him in this new job that you guys are adding something to savings every month, and you just want to, you know, take 1 month's worth of expenses and reduce that overall balance just to save on that interest over the long haul, I could get on board with that, but I probably wouldn't go beyond that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Marie. I know this is a lot. You guys will get there. Just stay at it. You're making progress. I love the way you're thinking, and I realize it's still weighing on you, but you know, in time, you will get that paid off once and for all. Thanks for being on the program. Let's go to Longwood, Florida. Hi, Harry. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for your ministry, and thank you for taking my question.
Yes, sir.
I'm 75, I'll be 76 in a week. I have a CD that's 5.1%. It pays about $950 a month. It's $210,000. I had the money from that, the dividend from that every month, sent into my checking account. It subsidizes my living expenses. I hear interest rates are getting ready to go down significantly. I'm sure I'm going to lose that it's either 5.1 or 5.5. Pretty sure I'm going to lose that. Is there another safe investment? I've got about $1 million net worth altogether with equity and, you know, assets and things. I'm trying to find a way to, my Social Security is about $2,000 a month. My interest income is about $1,000. I get $500 in rent from someone. I'm trying to figure out how to get another investment that's going to kick off about $1,000 a month out of that $210,000.
All right. So $210,000, you know, right now, if you were to do a new 3-year CD, you could probably find one at 4.25. So that would throw off not quite that much. It'd be more like $750 a month. But if you're looking for this portion of your investment capital to have guaranteed returns, now there's nothing that's guaranteed, but a CD with FDIC insurance is just about as low risk as you're going to find. You know, that would be the other option, is to roll it over for maybe up to 3 years at 4.25, and that would at least give you $750. So I might do that. The other option is you could look at laddering these, maybe a 1 year, a 2 year, and a 3 year with a third, a third, a third. The final option would be elevating the risk slightly, but it would mean, you know, perhaps hiring an advisor who could look at protecting this money and growing it. And if you wanted to do that, you could head to our website, faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.